2026 to order. Pledge of Allegiance will be said by Commissioner Eugene Fields this evening. You please lead us.
Please join me in recognizing the greatest flag in America in the nation. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Ms. Wang, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Chair. Vice Chair Allsweed.
Here.
Commissioner Cushon.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Fields.
Present.
Chair Romero.
Here.
And let the record show that Commissioner Litwin is absent.
Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to acknowledge a gentleman in the audience by the name of Steve Freeman, past commissioner of the Parks Commission. We would like to thank you so much for all of your hard work on the Parks Commission with us, and also wish you best of luck with the Traffic Commission. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Do we have any speakers this evening? Okay, with that said, I will close public comment. Thank you so much. All right, I'd like to take item 3.1, approval of minutes from the January 20th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
I make a motion that the minutes be approved.
All right, with that said, everyone please vote. We have a second. We'll list it on here.
Second, sorry. We were voicing.
Thank you very much. That motion has passed and the minutes have been approved. Item 4.1, consideration of prohibition of smoking in city parks. Ms. Bustamante, do you have a staff report for us?
I do, thank you. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. This item comes before the Commission at the direction of the City Council following the discussion at the February 10th, 2026 Council meeting, where staff was asked to bring forward options regarding smoking in city parks and to obtain a recommendation from the Commission. Currently, the city follows the California Health and Safety Code, which prohibits smoking or vaping within 25 feet of a playground, park facility, or youth activity. This is also mirrored in the Orange Municipal Code under 12.48.165. But outside of those areas, smoking is currently permitted. Before you, you have three options for your consideration. Option one, you can maintain current regulations. Option two, recommend to designate smoking areas or expand buffers. This option would establish designated smoking areas or increase distances from high use areas such as playgrounds and sports fields. You could also consider a ban for some of our smaller parks. This approach would require additional signage and mapping and may create some confusion and enforcement challenges. Option three, you could recommend to prohibit smoking in all city parks. This option would prohibit smoking and vaping in all city parks. It would create a clear and consistent rule for park users, but it would also require an ordinance amendment and updated signage. Just for reference, several nearby cities, including Anaheim, Buena Park, Placentia, Fountain Valley, Newport Beach, to name a few, have adopted park smoking bans. Staff have consulted with the Orange Police Department, and from an implementation and enforcement perspective, OPD notes that a clear and consistent approach is easier to enforce, and that partial approaches, such as a designated area, creates a bit of ambiguity. In closing, following this discussion, staff's requesting that the commission provide a recommendation to the council regarding smoking in parks. This concludes my report, and we have Lieutenant Plogg and Sergeant Sellers from OPD, or myself, we're all available to answer any questions that you might have.
Ms. Bustamante, and do we have any public comments on this matter?
We do not.
Okay, with that, I'd like to open it up to my colleagues for any discussion. Ms. Ava?
Yes, I think it's a great idea. I did read what the, especially the Orange Police Department, thank you, specifically pointed out. And I also think that it's important to have something for the community, because for the people that do smoke, perhaps something to go out to the community on smoking cessation. Like, we have resources with the Orange County Healthcare Agency. I'm sure staff can look into resources somehow to maybe put something up at the parks in case somebody needs that because they can't smoke there. Which is something that, you know, I think would be helpful.
We can look into that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Oswalde.
Thank you very much. My question is more, probably directed towards police department, and that would be, what sort of enforcement needs are there currently? I mean, is this a problem that is going on in all of our parks? Is it limited to some? And then from your recommendation, from a consistent enforcement mechanism, would this extend just in the park space, or would this be for the parking lots and all those areas as well, just for my understanding?
So to address the first part of your question, we do not get a lot of calls for service that are about complaints from the public coming in about smoking in parks. The park that has received the most calls for service in recent history, which I'd look back into this actually last fall for a relation or an issue that came up before council had even talked about this. Pitcher Park was the most common park that the calls came up at. And most of the calls that we got were from the same complaining party. And it was about, the complaint was about the same gentleman coming to the park who it was just part of a routine for them and they smoked cigars in the park and they knew the rules and they knew that they could smoke them there. So it was not a common problem. It's not something we deal with on a regular basis. However, even at Pitcher Park, and that kind of goes to one of the options that Ms. Bustamante spoke about, we could either make it a really small park and we could say that you're not allowed to smoke at a small park, because none of those designated areas where smoking is currently prohibited exist at Pitcher Park. For the second part of your question regarding where it would extend to, it would be wherever the footprint of the park is. I'll actually turn it over to Sergeant Sellers. He can talk specifically about like Hart Park. He works a lot with our Hart and our bike team, and so he can kind of speak about where that would extend to if we did prohibit it in parks as a whole.
Yeah, I think we would extend it probably all the way to the parking lot. I'm sorry, the entire park itself. Probably the only area that would probably be allowed to be the outer area around the public sidewalks. The problem is, again, if you limit it to this area or that area, it starts getting difficult on enforcement because, like Ms. Bustamante said, it's unambiguous. It's, well, I was here 5 seconds ago, but you saw me here, and then who saw what? And it starts becoming a problem. So if you make it simply, you just can't do it anywhere in the park that's part of the park or anything that has a footprint, there's no question. It's, you can or you can't. I jokingly say to you, you're pregnant or you're not. It gets, if you make it very simple, it's easy, much easier to enforce. It's much easier to explain to people. There's no, again, an ambiguity. Hey, well, you can't stand over here 25 feet, and no one's going to come out with a tape measure and obviously do that. So if you make it very simple and clear, it's very easy to follow, and it's very easy to, you know, educate people when you're trying to explain the rules.
As a quick follow-up, if I may, will this provide you guys a tool to crack down on other activity that's happening in the park? Is that part of the thinking?
That's part of it. It allows us as a tool to make contact with people as a way, you know, we make contact with people all the time, but allow us to have a tool to, if they're not, they're doing maybe some, we suspect they're doing something else, this gives us a tool to do something and potentially detain them to go further to look into something, that will allow us to do something like that. It'll also help some of the cleanliness, because if you don't have the cigarette, if they're not letting up cigarettes in the, you know, the park, but maybe the parking lot, well, what's going to happen? The parking lot's going to be full of cigarette butts. We all know that. So it's just easier to make it the whole thing, and then it's kind of helps maybe clean some of that up.
Thank you.
Commissioner Cushon? Oh, perfect. And Commissioner Fields?
Thank you. Would this be, I don't know, maybe I should ask the city attorney this. If this goes to the city council and they decide to ban smoking in the parks, would that be a misdemeanor?
Yes. According to the Orange Municipal Code, any violation of the park ordinance would be deemed a misdemeanor, from $0 to $1,000 or 6 months in jail.
Thank you.
Correct.
I have a question for you. So you can, with this, you would still be able to smoke on the sidewalk area outside of a park?
That would be my recommendation, because the sidewalk is not necessarily part of the park. It's part of the city public sidewalk, just like anywhere else. So at what point do we say, well, this is part of the park and this is not? And then now people are walking, if they're trying to play the game of they don't want to get in trouble, now they're walking in the middle of the street to go around. You start asking for problems. If you keep it in the curtilage of the park, the footprint of it, and leave the public sidewalks out, I think you're in a better, safer position to not have issues.
And how would this affect Plaza Park? Would it be the entire, I mean, for example, in front of the smoke shop, would that be included, or would that, they'd still be able to smoke in front of the smoke shop, just not within the Plaza Park area?
We'd have to figure out the exact dimensions of where Plaza Park is, and then that might be something we might have to address at a later time when we get closer to it. I don't have an answer for that one.
That would be my recommendation, only because I know that that business has been there for a very long time, and I wouldn't want to see them upset with us that we're going to affect their business. Well, I do know that a lot of people complain about the smoke shop. That might be something that we look into.
The Orange Municipal Code under 12.48 only covers parks, so that would not affect the business, just Plaza Park.
Just Plaza Park. Okay, thank you very much.
Actually, just as a to make sure I clarify, normally I see them out front. You bring up a good point, out front of the area and that sort of sidewalk. Is that considered part of the park, or just the, excuse the use of the word, the circle part?
Just the inner circle.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you.
Something else, a question in regards to that. In the state of California, you can't smoke within a certain amount of feet of a restaurant. Is that correct? Do you know what that number of feet is?
I think it's 300.
I don't know if it's that far. I want to say it's closer to 100.
30?
I'm not a positive. That sounds more.
It's 30, yeah.
That and sounds more like that. 300 seemed a little far. That 300 is more than the fire truck. It says right there on it.
Exactly. 30.
So perhaps if a restaurant goes into the Starbucks, it won't matter anyway.
Well, I think what the circle is, the circles, it's going to be across the street.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, any of that's not going to be affected. There's no businesses in the exact circle, so it's not going to be affected.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak? Any more questions for our officers? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I feel like this is an important tool to give to our OPD, and in hearing at City Council, things that Chief Jevic had also mentioned, I think that this is something that we should move towards. If anybody else has any suggestions or any other input, if not, I'd like to make a motion. Oh, Commissioner Fields.
I motion that we make the recommendation to the City Council to move forward with no smoking at our parks. And would I add what I mentioned about the smoking cessation to this motion, or you just going to look into it? I'm not sure how that goes.
We can look into it.
Okay.
Motion there, second. Okay, with that, Commissioner Oswaldo, will you voice your second so they have
that? I'll second.
Great. With that, everyone, please vote. Okay, that motion passes 4-1. So that'll be our recommendation to City Council. Thank you so much, OPD, for coming out.
Now I'll have to draft the ordinance, so.
Okay. Okay, item 4.2, USA 250 Fundraising Subcommittee Appointment. Ms. Bustamante, do you have a staff report for us on this?
I do. So after the October 21 Park Planning and Community Events Commission meeting, staff conducted a review of OMC Section 2.60.070 and determined that the formation of the subcommittee for USA 250 fundraising did not qualify it as a recommendation to council, and therefore the initial motion to select Commissioners Romero, Freeman, and Cushon to serve on the subcommittee, which received a vote of 3-1 in favor, should have been valid. Because the subsequent motion appointing Commissioners Cushon and Romero passed unanimously, the composition of the current subcommittee remains valid, and existing appointed members cannot be removed or altered through this corrective action. However, the commission may, if it so chooses, nominate and vote to appoint one additional commissioner to the subcommittee at this time.
At this time, I'd like to open the discussion up to my colleagues. I think I would like, personally, for us to have a third person on this subcommittee, and so I'd like to open it up to discussion. Commissioner Cushon.
I would very much like to have Commissioner Osby join us in our efforts, because he, it's been a little while since he has been on the subcommittee, and I know that when we were working together on the last funding subcommittee, we did some good work together.
I appreciate the nomination, but I respectfully decline. I'm a little busy at this time and can't add that on, but I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? Would anybody like to nominate themselves?
we are open to people here.
Okay, with that said, we don't have a motion, a second. It doesn't appear that anyone's interested in joining Commissioner Cushon and I. So I guess we can move on from that. All right, item 5, Community Services Director's Report, staff report updates on the 250. Mrs. Emily Bustamante, would you like to provide us with a staff report?
I would be happy to, if I can get the PowerPoint up, Jess. Thank you. Tonight we have several updates for the commission. The first is in regards to USA 250, the planning subcommittee. In preparation for the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 2026, the City Council directed staff to work with the Commission to develop a plan to commemorate this historic milestone in the City of Orange. As such, in May of 2025, the Commission selected then-Chair Cushon, former Commissioner Freeman, and Commissioner Litwin to serve on a USA 250 planning subcommittee. Since then, the subcommittee, along with staff from Community and Library Services, has been meeting on a monthly basis to strategize and implement a decentralized approach to spread the word and encourage local nonprofits and businesses to incorporate the USA 250 theme into their existing events and activities throughout 2026. As a result, the city has established a USA 250 resource website with a calendar of events taking place in and around the City of Orange. For example, the calendar features upcoming festivities for Celebrate Orange, a weekend consisting of the May Parade, Car Show, and Taste of Orange with the theme, Orange You Glad It's America's Birthday, celebrating 250 years. As more events and activities are confirmed, we'll be sure to continue to update the USA 250 calendar now through the end of the year. In light of the 250th, the library curated an exhibit commemorating how the City of Orange celebrated the bicentennial. This exhibit features information on several of the markers placed in the historic district, as well as a replica of the Liberty Bell. So make sure you guys stop by and check that out, again, now through the end of the year. Just lastly, another example of some of the work this subcommittee has done. They envisioned an interactive community art project that was just unveiled this week, a hand crafted paper quilt that stands 11 feet by 6 feet tall is displayed at the Sports Center at Grijalva Park. Community members are invited to create and add their own quilt square with artwork that represents what freedom means to them. The USA 250 Freedom Quilt will remain on display through the end of 2026.
Thank you so much, and I want to give a special thank you so much to the subcommittee for all their hard work on honoring our country's 250th birthday. So thank you for that update, Ms. Emily, on the USA 250 Planning Subcommittee. Given that a solid framework for recognizing the 250th anniversary has been established and implemented, I can confidently say with the subcommittee consisting of Commissioners Cushon and Litwin and former Commissioner Freeman has completed their task as assigned by Council. I would like to acknowledge for the record that the subcommittee's work concluded as of March 17th, 2026, and is now dissolved. Thank you so much to your work on this subcommittee, and I'm excited for us to get going on our 250th celebration and continue our work on that at Hart Park. I'd like to also...
Point of order. Mm-hmm. We still have the entire 250 event to plan.
Yes, that's what I would like.
Because we just affirmed our other subcommittee was created to do the fundraising.
Just
we still have the entire
clarify two separate subcommittees. Right. So we had the planning for the non-city event, all the things that were happening with other organizations, and then there's this other fundraising subcommittee that's also planning. So they have very similar names. I know it's a little bit confusing. There's the USA 250, all the other things that are happening, the things that are up on the screen right now, and then there's the USA 250 fundraising and planning for the celebration in the park. So that one's still intact.
But when, if we go back and we review the minutes, that subcommittee was originally organized to raise the funds so we can agendize it to materially change the subcommittee next time we meet, but the planning, the original subcommittee that we just reaffirmed under 4.2 was fundraising.
Yeah, it's still intact. Right,
that's fundraising. Planning was, all the 250 planning was under the other subcommittee. So we've now materially changed the fundraising subcommittee into fundraising and planning. But that wasn't considered by the commission.
Let's focus on the fact that the second commission is revolving around celebration in the park on July 3rd. So everything that has to do with that event is that second subcommittee that's made up currently of Chair Romero and yourself.
I understand that.
The other subcommittee is yourself and Commissioner Litwin. So the thought is that we turn our attention to the celebration in the park event subcommittee.
So do we need a motion to change what we're doing as a subcommittee then? Because we were originally organized as a fundraising committee. Do we need to then have to materially change what the purview of that ad hoc is doing?
Is that what the intent of the majority of the commission would be? I think I would turn it back to the commission to discuss whether that's something that the commission would be interested in.
I have a question. So with the two separate subcommittees, so on the celebration in the park, we are fundraising, Commissioner Cushon and I are fundraising for that event. Is there separate fundraising going on in the other subcommittee for anything?
No.
No. So
we've kept the subcommittees very separate. Mm-hmm. And there's been no conversation of celebration in the park in the first subcommittee. And in the fundraising committee, we've already talked about the planning components.
So do you think that this is something that Commissioner Litwin would be interested in, is raising funds for the, is that the concern, is that we're leaving him out and he'd like to fundraise?
No, the concern is we originally structured this subcommittee that you and I are on as a fundraising subcommittee, mm-hmm. not as an event planning. We had a subcommittee that was planning for all things 250, and then our subcommittee was strictly for planning, was strictly for fundraising for the event. Now the two of us we're doing the fundraising, but now we're also doing the planning, which, okay, but that was something that wasn't decided on by we didn't say, okay, hey, now that's, we didn't talk about that. That wasn't something that was discussed through the commission. We didn't discuss this. We didn't plan this. So I'm just trying to get figure this all out and put everything in its right bucket. That's all.
Chair, if I may, for the sake of the fact that this is part of conversation as part of the director's report, and legally under the Brown Act, you wouldn't be able to make the motion because it hasn't been agendized. My recommendation to the commission and to staff would be to go back and see if that original, the planning was part of it, and then and maybe Ms. Bustamante, if you can give us an update regarding what actually was part of that subcommittee, and then at the next commission meeting, and I know we're getting close on.
I'm happy to report it in writing if that's fine.
If you can
fine.
Just send an email sure. with an update, that would be appropriate if that works for Chair Romero. Yeah,
I think that works perfectly, so that way we have a clear defining line of what our what we should be working on. Will that in any way hold up our fundraising in the meantime? Because I know time is of the essence on that. So we can continue to fundraise. Okay, that sounds yes. wonderful. If yes. we can have staff.
Chair Romero, the fundraising committee is a subcommittee, separate. Is a separate okay. subcommittee.
Perfect. Okay. Okay, with that said, I'd like to move on to the fundraising subcommittee. So a quick update, at the February 10th meeting, the City Council voted to move forward on our proposed event concept, Celebration in the Park at Hart Park on July 3rd. Shortly after that, we officially launched the fundraising campaign for the event. Commissioner Cushon and I, along with staff, have been making contact with 100 potential sponsors, and we have received a handful of verbal commitments, but we are still waiting for those funds to roll in order to meet our goal of $35,000. In front of you is a sponsor flyer, if we can put that up on the screen. Oh, can we get that? Are we able to put the sponsorship flyer up on the screen? Anybody's watching at home? Okay.
You can, Emily, you can probably use the. Oh, perfect. Oh, that's even better.
Okay. So now in front of you is a sponsorship flyer with a QR code that takes you to the website with all the sponsorship information. We really, truly need your help to get the word out, so please share with potential sponsors and help us to solidify the funding for this fantastic USA 250 community event that we are so excited about. With that said, I would like to task or challenge each of our commissioners with possibly raising $2,500 each. If we were to do that, along with some of the commitments that we've received so far, we would almost fully have this event for funded. So thank you so much for your guys for helping to participate in this, and we're very excited for the event to take place. Ms. Bustamante, will you please continue with the updates?
Happy to. All right. So item 5.2, our utility art box program. Per the council's direction, the Public Works Department teamed up with Community and Library Services to launch the Utility Box Art Program that celebrates USA 250. This program brings color and creativity to Orange by transforming city-owned traffic signal control boxes into vibrant public art. These highly visible installations reach a constantly moving audience, adding artistic expression to everyday streetscapes. The city is seeking local participants to submit designs that reflect the spirit and identity of the City of Orange as it commemorates USA 250. All art submissions are due April 13th. While all the full details can be found on the city's website, I did want to highlight a few items to note. The program is made possible through donations, so each box must be sponsored at the cost of $3,000. Final selections will be ranked per the recommendation of members of the Park Planning and Community Events Commission. and will only be installed if and when funds become available. However, designs that come with a full $3,000 sponsorship would receive installation priority. Moving on, if there's no questions, 5.3, Grijalva Park Master Plan Update. Just wanted to provide a short recap. As part of our current CIP, we have started the process of updating the Grijalva Park Master Plan in an effort to develop a site-specific reuse plan. Montrose Environmental and Kimley Horn will be conducting a majority of the actual planning work to produce a long-range policy document that guides future enhancements and capital projects at Grijalva Park. The first step of this master planning process is to engage with community stakeholders. Oh, I forgot to do the slide. That's Utility Box Art Program.
Thank you.
So sorry. And then Grijalva Park Master Plan Update. The first step of this master planning process is to engage with community stakeholders. We're doing so in different stages. So last month, Kimley Horn facilitated a working group visioning meeting with the three groups that have been given the green light by council to fundraise for their prospective projects. So that included GOCAT, Orange Elderly Services, and the Library Foundation and Board of Trustees. While each group has expressed interest in a facility that would serve their target audience, they've never actually been in a room together to discuss how they might collaborate to build out their vision. So this was a great opportunity to do that and is a really fruitful conversation. The next step, which is quickly approaching, is twofold. One, we'll be putting out a community-wide questionnaire to find out what park users and neighbors want to see in this master plan. And simultaneously, we will be hosting a community input workshop on March 31st at 6 p.m. at the Sports Center. This workshop is open to the public, and it's open to up to three commissioners. Due to Brown Act limitations, we need to keep the commissioner attendance to no more than three. So if you are interested in attending, please email me by next Tuesday, March 24th. And if there are more than three commissioners who wish to attend, we'll just draw names and notify you. Just a note to the commissioners who are selected to attend. This meeting, you are able to observe, but not participate. The last step of community engagement is to gather all the input from the working group, the questionnaire, and the community input workshop, and bring it back to a future commission meeting for all of your input. All this information together will assist Kimley Horn as they paint an accurate picture for the future of the park through this master plan update. Item 5.4, updates on summer programs. The Community and Library Services Department conducted an RFP to solicit qualified vendors for Hart Park pool operations and aquatics programming, as well as for a youth and teen summer day camp provider. The RFPs were issued as a cost-saving measure due to budget and staffing reductions that would allow for these vital community services to continue. I'm happy to report that last week the council approved an agreement for a year-round aquatics program at Hart Park through Premier Aquatics LLC. Additionally, the council approved an agreement with the Hub OC for the Youth Centers of Orange to provide a youth and teen summer day camp out of Schaefer Park. Item 5.5, budget study sessions. Be sure to mark your calendars. The next two city council meetings will be dedicated budget study sessions. Of course, you're welcome to attend in person or watch online if you're interested in hearing that discussion. The March 24 meeting will focus on the city's operating budget, and then we'll be presenting our capital improvement plan for fiscal year 27 at the April 14 meeting. Item 5.6, updates on capital improvement projects, is existing capital improvement projects. Unfortunately, Robert is out sick today, so we wish him well, and I'm going to do my best to give you an update on CIPs. So we are so excited. It's happening. Hart Park Pickleball and Fitness Circuit.
That's woo-hoo.
Exciting. Yeah. So this project is coming along nicely. The foundation, the fencing, the shade sales, they're all up. And our contractor believes us to be on schedule for a mid-April completion date. So as we get closer, we'll solidify a ribbon cutting date for the community to celebrate this beautiful new amenity at Hart Park. And we'll be sure to let you all know about that.
Very
We also recently just finished the Serrano Park Lodgepole fencing project. As you may recall, we were having some issues with some cars driving up to our big open grassy area. So now that this project is complete, it serves as an excellent deterrent for vehicular vandalism. These are just some fun pictures of our construction drawings for the skate park at Grijalva Park. It's moving along. We went out to bid for construction, and we are getting ready to award that contract for construction at the second meeting in April. Construction's anticipated to begin this summer with approximately 7 to 8 months for construction, for the completion timeline. So skate park at Grijalva Park is coming as well. And then the last thing on my list is Rampart Street Park. So as we shared with the commission last fall, we have the Rampart Street Park project as part of our fiscal 26 CIP. On the February 10th at the council meeting, the council approved the lease agreement for the property with the county, and it's anticipated that the county will approve the agreement on their end sometime this month. Next steps, while we have a very high-level conceptual idea of what this passive park along the Santa Ana River Trail could potentially look like, we're working on an RFP to get a designer on board to do a complete design, including construction documents. And this design process would include community input and commission input as well. So this concludes my director's report. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bustamante. A lot of exciting things on the horizon. With no further business, this, are we ready for adjournment? Yeah. With no further business, this meeting is now adjourned. The regular meeting will be held on Tuesday, May 19th at 5:30 p.m. in Council Chamber. Thank you so much.
Thank you.